Five, four, three, two, one.
Here we are, Rick. We are live, April 6th, 2021. How are you, my friend?
Doing awesome, brother. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, buddy. Rick, why don't you go ahead and intro? We have an awesome guest today. Let's hear about it.
Yeah, buddy. So we've got Jim the Kraken Irwin. So Jim is a special operations veteran. He's a hunter. He's a firearms instructor. He's also business development for Staccato 2011. Just an overall fantastic American. Jim, thank you for your service and welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed my time and enjoy continuing to share what I've learned over the years of serving the country. And
yeah, buddy. So I just wanted to, did I get the, it's the business development for Staccato, correct?
Yes, sir. I run the Western. Okay. The western half of the country, I guess you could say.
Wow.
Hired to do 10 states, and then within a short period of time, they decided that they wanted to change the dynamics, so they cut a few people, and now you got 22 states, so keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's like,
so,
all right.
So is that kind of west of the Mississippi, you know, have at it?
pretty much, yeah. And then the East Coast rep, she has basically the other half of that. You know, she's got like 22 states, and I've got 22, and then our boss runs Texas and then tries to keep us all in line too, or us two in line, I should say.
Yeah.
Yes, it keeps us busy for sure.
So what do you, I know you've been on the road a bunch, you know, now is that, are you doing a combination of training and then also, you know, kind of showing off the Staccatos, or what's been kind of the op tempo for you, I guess?
So yeah, that was part of the deal. I actually started with Staccato in like 2018 as a pro staff guy. So paid shooter, whatever you want to call it, on the tactical side. I wasn't doing competition or anything like that. I was just doing the tactical versions of the gun line. So this looks weird with just me on here, like I'm talking to myself.
That's because you're important, brother.
Yeah. So when I said, well, okay, I'll come on full time, but I put a lot of time, effort, and energy into developing my firearms training program with Shooting Performance Institute, and I'd like to be able to do that. I don't want to just curb it. And they're like, yeah, go for it. You know, my priority is Staccato when I travel, and if I can get some firearms training along with it and segue it in, that I do, and then I just pay for that on my own. So, like, I've been to Colorado and a couple other places where I'll do a firearms training, but I'll usually end up with a 2011 experience in dealer training prior to that, and then stay an extra day or so to offer up my training and continue to share my knowledge. So,
sure.
But first and foremost, getting the word out, you know, preaching the gospel of Staccato, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're always talking about how important it is to give back to everybody, not just law enforcement or military, but it's good on you for getting out there and doing it. We see a lot of your videos on Instagram. What's your IG handle?
Jim the Kraken One, the number
right.
One.
Yeah, man. So, so that tells me that there's more than one Jim the Kraken.
You know, in all my travels, I swear
you
to
never
God,
know.
Like, I was on a detail with Taylor Swift, right? A protection thing for Taylor Swift. And here's this dude who's like 5'6", buck 40, probably a Marine. I think he was a Marine. And he's like, no, you can't
probably
be the Kraken. I'm the Kraken. I'm like, I say that jokingly. So yeah, I guess it is a common nickname, but I did not give it to myself. Like, it would have been something not water based, being that I was an Army dude.
So, mm-hmm.
But
you're the number one Kraken. So
yes, the number
one
Kraken.
You got that going for you, right? No, the videos are great. I see some. You did some trauma stuff over this past week, along with some handgun.
We're getting ready to do that. So that was a.
Oh, you're getting ready to do that.
So, yeah, I did a pistol carbine class last week, a long range, 2-day long range class the weekend before that. And the 24th of April here in Minden, Nevada, we're going to do a pistol class incorporated with tactical medicine. Cause I think it's important to understand that you don't always get out without a scratch. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And everything I've learned in the military, you know, as casualty care is important, right? You can have a badass soldier or dude or dog, and they could die in your hands if you don't know what you're doing, right? But you could yeah. save them, like with just a little bit of training, you could save a life. And everything I've been doing in the last 7 years is really, I'd say, grounded in sharing my knowledge of how to increase your survivability and increase your lethality in an everyday world, right? You don't need a mouthpiece and a helmet and nods, but here's some serious stuff you need to know. Here's the fundamentals of shooting, and here's critical tasks you must know to survive.
Right. Is that is upcoming? Is there any slots left? Should we put that out for everybody, or are you guys full?
It'd be awesome. It'd be awesome. I think we have 12 slots left right now. It fills up usually like the last week. So mm-hmm. they want to jump on my website, shootingperformanceinstitute.com. It'll tell them right there in the ticker how many slots are left, and absolutely love to have them come out. I have a 20-plus year veteran from a paramedic firefighter, knows, he's seen it all day in and day out, still doing it, coming down. We're going to shoot some roasts. We're going to break some bones, not human bones, but, yeah. you know, and then there's going to be a scenario at the end of that class where you got to figure it out.
Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes. Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes and hopefully drive some traction to that, because you guys don't want to miss that. Sounds great. Anything else going on before we get into your firearm stuff?
There's a lot of travel. I'm headed to Idaho this week to do some dealer training and an experience for Hawk Tech Arms there in Meridian, Idaho. Personally, more training, more shooting. It's like, yeah. I had my first day off since the beginning of February yesterday. We went out and shot. One of the things we actually already planned is in June, we're going to hit a Chris Stapleton concert if it actually goes. That'll be pretty cool.
Rick and I have a stadium tour coming up with Motley Crue, Def Leppard. We got a bunch of them coming up. Don't Jet.
Now you're taking it back. Now you're taking it back. You're like my high school days right there.
Whoa, what's wrong with that, man?
Nothing wrong with that.
But see, here's the only thing, though.
Got to get Rat in there, too.
Yeah, I don't think they get along. Yeah, I don't think they get along, so they don't travel very much.
But, you know, it's funny, like with Motley Crue, because what was it, Mark? 2014, they did their go away or final tour or whatever it was.
This will be my third going away tour. Yeah, I've been to both the previous two. This will be my third one. Poison? Yeah, Poison's going to be there. That's a big show. Now, we're going to try to get On the Range podcast broadcasting live from a venue close to that event. We're still working on that. Just got to let the reins off people so they can go out and enjoy themselves. So we'll see.
That's first and foremost.
I did see in Texas, they had a ball game where it was full capacity. So hopefully that goes well. Maybe we'll see some of that love. Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Hey, I was going to ask you, brother, how are you seeing your student enrollments with kind of all the crazy ammo stuff going on? Are you having to adjust stuff? Obviously you're plugging in the medical stuff. Just, I'd like to hear from other instructors' standpoint, kind of what they're seeing with just some hurdles as far as getting students.
It's one of the first questions asked, like how many rounds are we going to need? And I have seen some hits on enrollment. The classes have actually been filling up, but like my pistol carbine class, we had like 4 or 5 people, and it wasn't because it was like a bad price. There was just the nervousness of using ammo, right? And being able to get it. But Northern Nevada, basically anywhere in the United States right now, it's, you see it, you nail it, you grab it, because it's hard to get. I've tailored my courses to adjust for round counts, so they're lower round counts. At the end of the day, what I need you to leave with is the knowledge, not necessarily how many times we pull the trigger.
Right.
Sure. If you look at the fundamentals of shooting, you can do 6 of the 7 fundamentals without firing a shot. We start to incorporate more of that dry fire movement, using the brain housing group and getting them thinking while they're moving, and understanding like being standing still in a gunfight is not a good idea. And if you want to make a basic course advanced, I make you move your feet. That's it. Or I put a timer next to you. It immediately gets advanced. It's like, beep, they forget everything you just showed them.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So I really focus on that, and how we move, getting the mindset right to where, think about when your hand touches a gun, it's time to be a savage, right? Options are over. It's time to win and win now. And you can spend a lot of time reinforcing that. That's the word I'm looking for. Reinforcing that, slowing down the amount of rounds we're shooting. How quickly can I do this drill with 2 or 3 rounds instead of 15? And then have the culmination drill or exercise be where they plus it up and they've got to move for like a minute, right? Now the heart rate's up and they're trying to hit these shots and they're going from rifle to pistol. But it's the knowledge they got to lead with, right? Mm-hmm. Not how many rounds did they shoot.
Totally with you, because that's one of the biggest things I see is, you know, I don't think a lot of people that's carrying a firearm, regardless whether you're civilian, law enforcement, or military, I don't think everyone has truly thought of the process. I'm carrying this firearm to potentially take another person's life.
Yeah, that is literally what you're doing. Literally, when you boil it down, that is what you're doing. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, very similar to like what you're saying, I tell them it's like this. It's an unemotional event because that other person voted hostile intent to you. So, for example, if you want to say my legal advice, I can state that, you know, use of deadly force in the state of North Carolina, imminent threat of death, great bodily harm, or sexual assault. The state tells me I can defend myself. Boom. Pretty much universal across the board. I've had some people go, hey, my state doesn't allow for sexual assault. Doesn't matter. The point being, the general premise is the same.
Yep. Great bodily harm or death, right? And then you, sexual assault. Why are you smiling? Who's being assaulted here?
But it's like, boom, it's not an emotional event because you've already processed it. You've already thought about it. I'm not out there looking for the fight, but if the fight shows up, boom. And that's what you try to instill in the students.
You have no option. You can't be second place in a gunfight. You can't.
No.
So it's trying to get people to think about that. I'll even put up targets that are like male, female, and I'm blown away at how many people, civilian world, it trips people out. You like, you throw up a chick with a gun and they're like, this is kind of creepy. I'm like, you better shoot. You better shoot.
Yeah.
Like, well, look at, I haven't done it yet, but, my boy over at Threat Cadre brought up a good point. He's like, I'm thinking about doing teenage targets. Mm-hmm. I'm like, damn, that's a good idea. Because think about that. If you hesitate or pause in some of these mass shootings, I guess you'd call it, or school incidents, or you know, it's our teenagers, right? And you pause, that could be your life or more kids' lives, where you have to get rid of that connection of, well, that's a kid, he can't be bad, or that's a woman, can't be bad. My ass.
Yeah.
It's a threat. It doesn't matter. Period. You know, that's it. I mean, it's cut and dry. Because, you know, I haven't thought about the, if you want to say the more realistic targets, what I do is actually have my students bring old t-shirts. So we're actually shooting at some type of material.
Yep.
Because you would be surprised that I hang this big hunk of cloth on a target, and man, where they think center mass is,
it goes away, doesn't it?
Yeah, big time.
We kind of lift up the target or up the t-shirt, and you're like, oh, good Lord. It's like, look here, my man.
That's not a stopping shot. Yeah.
No. But you try to teach them regardless, the collar's the constant. And if they're using that as kind of their gauge, where to put their hold, they're going to get good solid hits. But it just, I've had people, you know, it's one of these that, man, I don't know if I feel comfortable shooting a piece of material. I'm like, excuse me? And you're carrying a gun for a living? You know, you need to kind of step back and go, I'm not sure if this line of work's, you know?
But I think, too, what's cool about that technique or that drill is if you watch most shooters that come to train, right? Mm-hmm. Remember I talked about that mindset, that, for lack of a better term, that combat mindset and being willing to go to work now, be a savage. One of the biggest things I see is they shoot and immediately drop the gun to see the hole they made in the paper.
Sure.
Yeah, right? Hell you see it all day. And I tell them, hey, you're not going to see cool little holes show up on a jacket or a putt. You're going to see some movement, maybe impact. Mm-hmm. But you can't be dropping the gun looking for the hole, right? Like, well, that's a badass hole. You got to try to get rid of that and continue to drive shots or what it is. So the shirt, I think, is a good way to do that. You know, maybe if their focus is enough, you will see it. But in my experience, you see movement, and I'm usually moving too because I don't want to get my ass shot. Not paying attention to those holes of whether I'm dropping center mass or not on the target or threat. So I like that technique for that. And again, I'm throwing a kudos to Threat Cadre because I've been going back and forth with him a little bit on some targets, and he's actually creating another target. So got an overlay with the body and the vitals, and then just like an overlay of a shirt, and then you can just lift it up. And I'm like, that's a good idea. Like,
keep doing you, man.
You're on a good track here. So.
Yeah. And it's amazing. It's amazing what that stimuli does. You know, even if you bring, you know, we have folks bring out t-shirts. Some guy had a Pampers logo on one of the t-shirts, but it was amazing how it was off kind of to the shoulder, wasn't it, Rick? And my man was keyholing it. you know, because he's for whatever reason, his mind just switched to that point and he's focusing on hitting that t-shirt. Well, he's hitting the person, the silhouette in the shoulder. And then Rick rips that t-shirt up and says, "Hey, look, man, you're nowhere near where you're going to be aimed." Yeah. So it's amazing what that stimuli, even a whistle and, like you said, a timer. Yeah, it's amazing.
I've actually initiated drills where I start shooting and they like look at me like, "What are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do? I'm like, you're being shot at, dude."
Yeah.
That's a stimulus that they haven't encountered on a range, right? And trying to break that whole mindset of I'm on a range, I can only face this direction.
Yeah.
You know, and that.
But it's kind of, you know, it's twofold, right, Jim? Because I've done it where, let's say, for example, I'm going to give them some type of instruction. And then I tell them the command of execution is the whistle. And you sit there and you give them their number sequence or colors or whatever drill you're running.
Yeah.
Pregnant pause so they can process the information. One guy will start shooting. And next you know, you'll have a couple of guys looking, a couple of other guys shooting. You know, we kind of let everything settle. It's like, burp, and then they all look like, hey, it's what I tell you.
Discipline goes right out the window there. Yeah.
I've seen it where they're looking at the other guy and they're shooting. Like,
Yeah.
I'm shooting, but are we supposed to be shooting?
Oh, man.
Oh, man. What kind of a partner you are? You're not shooting. You know what I mean? You're not backing
me up. Get in the fight. I know what we're shooting at, but I'm shooting.
Hey, guys, if you are watching on YouTube or if you are watching on Facebook, man, hammer those like buttons. Hammer those subscription buttons. Jump all over that algorithm for us and hit those notification bells. But, you know, isn't it funny how things like that happen? And then, again, there's a lot of times when Rick will blow the whistle and nobody does anything. And sometimes I don't know what's worse. You know, it's just like, hey, man, you guys are going to have to get off this flat range stuff and start realizing this is a threat and we need to start taking it as that. It's a hard thing to break if someone's, you know, never carried a gun for a living. It really is.
And it's a training. I want to say a training scar that you can retrain them to just get their mind in the fight. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And once you get the mind going, the learning curve goes up from there. Yeah. And they start to say the light bulb goes off like, oh, I need to be thinking on a different level with a gun on my hip, or in my purse or my prison wallet, wherever they carry it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, yeah. Nobody on the prison wallet.
Oh.
No, I'm just sitting here reading some comments. I kind of got sidetracked a little. It's funny because, you know, Jeremy was talking about, you know, obviously kill the flat range mindset. And that's 100%. And that's probably the hardest thing because there's so much, you know, institutional inbreeding when it comes to, hey, this is the range and this is where you point your gun and yada, yada, yada. It's like, no.
We live in a 360 world, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But,
you know,
but
you got to train and you got to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be thinking 360 at all times.
Oh, 100%. You know, and like the hokey head pivot, twist, check, whatever. It's like,
I'm getting nauseous watching you do it.
Yeah. You know, but then I'm curious because Jeremy had this other comment. He mentioned, you know, my first firefight had a similar experience. I don't quite know what his experience was. So I just be curious to see what he pulls in because it's always interesting to draw from people that have actually been in gunfights to go, hey, what happened? Absolutely. What went on?
Yeah, where was your head and what pulled you into that fight mentally to be like, oh, hey, this is different, right?
Yeah.
Was it a whiz of a round coming past your face or, you know, a bomb going off under your truck? And it's like, oh, yeah, this shit's for real, right? And that's when the level – I hung my cleats up years ago, right? But I still have a lot of knowledge I can share. And I think, like I said, majority of that knowledge is being able to get the light bulb to go on a student to think beyond a small shot group. And I talk about, you know, what is acceptable accuracy, you know, at a certain distance. You know, we're looking at grouping, right? What's acceptable accuracy under stress? Or head to crotch, baby. Like, get them down the pipe and start sending rounds, right? And start moving now, right? Mm-hmm. So when they're like, oh, what do you mean? Or I watch them shoot a group and they drop one like straight down. I'm like, is that acceptable? And they're like, well, no. And I stand in front of the target. I said, is that acceptable? And they're like, oh, wait, yeah. Yeah, that is. Like, absolutely. You don't got to stack holes. We need them somewhere in the vitals, you know, spinal cord, heart, lungs, like get moving, make shots hit so they can't fight back. Right. And when I demonstrate that, they're like, well, I'll be damned. Like, it just changes their whole outlook on what they're doing. And then they're not being held to this super elite standard of if the holes aren't touching, then you're wrong. Do some push-ups, low crawl. We'll get back to you. And I see that light bulb. I said that, and then that learning curve just starts going. They're having a good time with it. You see them thinking through the process, you know, and then you progress into the timer and movement and things like that, where they come out of the other end just sizzling, and we shot 100 rounds. And they're just like, holy crap, man. I said, hey, we just ran 20 yards. You held your breath the whole time. So I told you that breathing fundamental, you'll just hold your breath.
Yeah.
So you'll start breathing at the end of it.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, yep, you were right.
Or you know, it's just for whatever reason, you know, you've got the breath holder, you know, that you got to sit there and say, hey, dude, breathe. You know, all of a sudden, you know, whether they're drawing, it's time to draw. And you're like, you can see it a mile away. You're like, hey, dude, breathe, man. Yeah. You know, your body needs that thing called oxygen. It's like, I didn't know I was doing it. I'm like, when they say that, I'm blown away. I'm like, really? You know, your lips are all turning blue. Your vision's got to be getting squirrely. I mean, it's like, got to be sitting there seeing the soda straw. Come on, go, you know, I don't know. But
so we got our one follower, Jeremy. What other questions do you have?
Well, I was trying to get his follow up here. He had a conversation about difference in big army mindset to a on the street mindset. Can you spray and pray with your kids in the next room? But see, here's the thing, man. Everyone kind of has this mindset that the army is all about, you know, spray and pray. And you got to look at what they're doing, right? There's some guys that are doing good shooting, but it depends on the application. You see it more to the CQB side, where I think they're doing a fairly good job short of trying to CQB with their saws, which we won't get into their ideas for that one. But then at the same token, I've seen the Army kind of lose, in my opinion, a little bit of the whole suppressive fire concept. So how do you balance the two? And I think it just goes back to, at least from the Army side of them training, hey, man, if you're an infantryman, there's times you just need to shoot bullets in that general direction.
The line. We're on this side. They're on that side. Send it, right? Guns go that way. Trucks go that way. Everything goes that way. Good guys on this side. You know, where you do, when you get into the hostage rescue counterterrorism thing, you have to be surgical. But they're at the big level. If we are taking a city and you're still there, you're an opponent. You know, people are probably going to freak out. We have evolved, right? We're not doing trench warfare, come out of the trench and just start mowing shit that direction. Yeah, mm-hmm. We have air cover that can see from, you know, freaking space. You have all this other stuff to help you be more precise in that. But when it's time to hammer all guns in a direction, like that is an awesome display of power.
Yeah, Brad. Brad always has good comments. He said, "I'm guilty of admiring my own work on the target."
Yeah.
It says a lot of times instead of practicing the fight, my son's a cop and admonished me for it this past weekend. So good. It sounds like his son's getting his dad squared away. But it's a product of, you know, never being in a position where you could be harmed or someone else could be harmed that you need to protect. And you go to the range all the time and you're just standing there shooting, having fun. No one's ever really explained the mindset to you and how this could actually happen and how quickly it can happen and just something to think about. But good for your son.
Yeah, and in his defense too, like we are all guilty of it.
You know, God, yeah.
Some of the best shooters in the world are faster to the holster than they were on target. Split second that last shot breaks, they're like, whew,
yeah,
I got it. Like, 15.
Yeah.
Like, there is zero follow through. I catch myself doing it, especially when I hit a timer, right? You're just as fast to the holster as you were out of it. Like, ah, man, I didn't follow up for nothing on that. And what if I need to hit another shot or third shot or another threat is coming and I'm already holstered up? So, but we learn, right? And we can't, if you can self correct it, the learning curve stays on. If you catch yourself doing it, correct it. Don't just keep doing it.
No, totally. And, you know, here's the thing, Jim, with that, it's you got to look at what you're doing, right? So you're looking to do, especially in a timed exercise, right? You're looking to try to test your skills to that level. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to say just the raw efficiency of movement, you know, for your fundamentals, hey, am I there trying to get done? Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Is there times that, you know, I should do that follow up? You know, sometimes we get a little lazy, right? Or, you know, one thing like I harp to with my students, you know, I've got basically what I dubbed the Warhog Ghost Reload. So even if you're all out of mags, you've got nothing left. Still go through it dry. Still let the slide go forward, because get one more trigger press in there, because there's one more chance.
That's what you should subconsciously be doing anyway. There shouldn't have been a thought process to it, because you've trained to that standard. Like, even right. if I run dry, like, my hand is going for my mag, right?
Sure.
Even if it is the last one, and then I'll usually catch the mag or something, but because, you know, get too lazy to pick it up.
but you know, we're kind of at that point where it's like, yeah, hey, we're out here. And I don't want to say screwing off on the range, because we're not, but you kind of know, trust me, if ill intent comes down the road and I'm sitting there screwing off on the range, we'll still burn them down. You know,
it's
the mindset's established, that, you know, that foundation is totally laid, been done, good to go. But like you said, you still, even though it's there, you still want to practice that, just because you don't want, you know,
bad
habits
rolling in them. That final one that you usually get me, like, I'm pretty disciplined through everything else and grip and everything, and finding the sides that it's, if you're going to drop one, it's usually that follow through, because you're like, yeah, that was good. That was fast. Right? Like, or damn, I missed my shot.
Yeah.
Now,
earlier, Jim, you mentioned the staccato experience. Now, is that just something you assign to a specific event, or is that just something you call when, you know, you're responding to?
So the staccato experience, or the 2011 experience, is I work through my dealer base, if you will. So say I've got X amount of dealers in Arizona, I got X amount of dealers in Washington, Oregon, so on and so forth. And I'll set up a time to travel out there, go to their store, do some training for their dealers on our guns, and show them why they do what they do, mm-hmm. why they're the price they are, and go through all the nuances of the gun. And then I can tell you all about it. Here's the gun. Go pull the trigger. You hand them the pistol. Then we do this 2011 experience and let them shoot the guns, let customers shoot the guns. And it's like, that's a game changer, right? You got a $2,000+ pistol handmade in the US, and they're like, $2,500. I'm like, first of all, if you're going to carry it for personal defense, how much is your life worth? Yeah. Right. This is an investment in your life. When you guys are going overseas, did you buy your own body armor? I sure as hell did. I did, because I didn't want the dude's armor he's going to hand me. I don't know how many times he dropped it in the truck. I was like, I'm rocking my own shit. Sorry.
Yeah. So, no, they were good with us,
that's
man.
That's civilian when I was doing the contract stuff. You know, the Army,
gotcha.
Here's your kit, go. Right. But as a civilian doing the contractor stuff, I brought my own kit because I trusted it. So
sure.
I want my gun to be the best possible gun mm-hmm. to defend my life or others. Right. And if it's, I know it's reliable. It's easier to shoot better. It doesn't move as much on target. Like, why would I not go that route? So that's the reason behind the 2011 experience with staccato, is before you go spend that kind of money, and before you go drive the AMG or buy the AMG, drive it. Like, you'll know where your money's going. It'll make you a believer within 10 rounds.
Yeah.
I had an opportunity to take Stone Cold Steve Austin out the other day and shooting guns. And he showed up with a couple nice guns. Mm-hmm. Started with a T, ended with a T or L. They were going with it. And he's just like, God damn, like these things shoot. And he gravitated towards my wife's like 2018 open gun. I got a video up on it. He's just like, bang, 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 bang. He's just like, but that's how these staccatos are. We came out of that racing heritage industry and now started applying that high quality, tack driver gun to an everyday carrying a duty gun. We just made it more reliable. It's still a handmade gun. We've just made it where it's not the finicky stigma of the old race guns. You got to cover it, clean your mags between each stage, you know, that old stuff, to a gun that you can hammer 10,000-11,000 rounds to this thing before you're like, yeah, I probably should clean this thing. It's starting to get a little slow. So that's why we do the 2011 experiences, is to give customers the opportunity to test drive these suckers before they drop money on it and say, oh, okay, now I see. I've felt the difference. We're talking 30% less felt recoil, right? A gun that is made, handmade by a gunsmith. Once the parts come off the milling machines, they get QC'd. A gunsmith builds that gun, right? Yeah. It's not a production thing. You're getting that AMG motor of a pistol, right?
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. And I get to travel around, and sometimes I get to do some training too on the side and continue to go beyond my Nevada and share my knowledge with others and grow the name. You know, I'm getting up there. You know, I'm not quite Kyle Lamb yet, but
what blaster was that you were just showing? Which model is
this? This is the Staccato P. how they do it. It's clear. This is a Staccato P DPO, so our optic ready gun, 4.4 inch steel frame gun, the number one selling gun we make. I equate this as the Ford Raptor of our pistols, right? You can do 80 on the highway and just hit the dirt and keep going. But if you're looking for that one and done carry gun, everyday carry, duty, competition, the Staccato P DPO, like, is it does it all. There's others that'll go to like our XC competition ready ported gun, and then a carry gun. They will get two, one for the range, one to carry. Mm-hmm. Us mortals, I can afford one of these bad boys. It's going to be the PDPO, right? Lifetime warranty on the guns. They are exceptional. I think you guys know enough of me or about me now that I will not put my name to anything that I truly don't believe in, would trust my life with, or, you know, put other people's lives, you know, or protect other people's lives with. So I was just talking about some G9 ammunition too, with a guy. I'm like, hey, dude, I've carried my stuff. I believe it. He's like, do you really believe in it, or are you just selling it? I'm like, no, dude, it's in my kit. And I hold myself to a standard that it's a huge responsibility, like, to train and educate people on how to defend themselves with lethal force. If you're starting to recommend kit, firearms, ammunition, that's all life-saving pieces of kit, and they fail. Mm-hmm. That's a huge burden. Like, the risk, that's a responsibility I take very seriously. I absolutely hate teaching CCW classes, right? To me, it is a huge, huge thing that I'm coaching and getting people to understand how to protect themselves. Like, they have to be able to do it. And you steer them wrong, right? You're like, I feel a sense of personal responsibility, if that makes sense. So if I'm sticking my name on something, man.
Yeah.
It's going to be for real. And,
yeah, I mean, 100%, Jim, but like a couple things. I'll hit the CCW part real quick. You know, it's hard, you know, in a day or 2 day class, which you have them for, you know, a short period to really, you know, we're kind of laying, if you want to say, in half an inch concrete. We're really not getting a full pour, good foundation like we need.
Absolutely.
You know,
and I tell them that right in the beginning. I say, look, this is a class to get you certified. This is not a training class. Mm-hmm. This is making you aware of situational awareness. This is the pointy end. Here's the laws. Right. That's it. I said, you want to actually learn how to carry, you need to take a class, because this is not it. And I tell them that like in the first 5 minutes.
And then just one thing real quick on the Staccatos. Are they only in 9, or are they offered in other calibers?
Every gun we make is in 9mm right now, except you can get our XL optic ready version in 40 cal. It's the only gun we offer in that 40 cal, and that's that competition ready full. I'll show you.
All right.
Oh.
So the XL is basically our 5.4 inch, I didn't say porn, I swear. 5.4 inch race ready pistol. This is basically replacing the older DVC, like 3-gun or limited. So we go to this one, super smooth, super fast, super flat. We offer this one in 40 cal for that competition purpose of hitting that power factor. And then there's the
boom
XC.
Yeah. Dude, if super that ain't sexy, I don't know what is.
Yeah, this is like cheating. It's cheating.
Yeah.
It's one of those, I don't know if you can catch it, but where I can rack it without like grabbing the slide.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's they're phenomenal guns.
Yeah. So have you seen, like, when you go out and kind of do the Staccato experience? Because again, it is, I'm gonna say, a 1911 style gun.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, most people don't understand the 2011. We'll just say 1911. Yep. Do you find people have dramas with the hammer back?
Oh yeah.
And don't feel comfortable using a single action gun?
Yeah, I do, absolutely. I just point, get out.
Yeah, you're out of here. Yeah.
It takes a little explaining. Mm-hmm. You kind of have, there's like two demographics, right? There's like the old school, I need a night, if it's a 1911, it's gotta be a 45, right? And like, been carrying 1911 my whole life, and this is one my grandpappy gave me, and I'm like, it's a badass gun, probably a horrible trigger, blah, blah, blah. But they're like the purest of the 1911s. And then you have the newer generation, if you will, that have been on these non-external safety type guns, plastic type guns, like Striker Fire, without putting out a name, right? Like, you know where I'm going.
We got you.
You hand them that, and they're like, what is this? Like, that's a rear grip safety. what does this do? Like, that's a thumb safety. It's not in here. It has a safety. But isn't that dangerous to have a hammer cocked? I'm like, absolutely not. Like, years and years of carrying these guns with the hammer back, I've actually seen them like decock it. I was like, that is more dangerous. And you just created a platform. Trying to just educate them on the platform in the inherent nature of a 1911 being easier to shoot because it is a single action gun. And when you start to explain that, and that feel is the same each and every time, and the take up, the you know, the slack in your trigger is just minimal, and they start to like, oh wow, okay. And I said, and this is just practice. I mean, this is not, well, this wouldn't this cost me my life? I'm like, it's not. Yeah, I'm still alive. Like, yeah, me having to hit that. What? Sorry, me having to hit that. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, but it's part of your presentation to target. Like, it's a training thing. Yeah, it's a training thing, not a mechanical thing.
No, it's just like people that argue with the whole AR safety deal and all this stuff. It's part of the platform. When people say that, all that tells me is you haven't trained.
Trained, you know? Untrained. Yep, trained, untrained.
That's it. It's like when you draw that 1911 out, your hands are going to a certain spot. Your thumb's going to a certain spot. Oh, when you shoot it, your thumb's in a certain spot because that keeps that thumb safety down. So it's not, you know, having some wonky grip. Now you're kicking it up, causing drama.
Yeah.
And trust me, pretty much if you're taught the correct way, it's the same grip you'd do on another gun.
Yep.
We're putting a safety there to prevent anything. So it is not being familiar with the platform, right? And so you usually get a little bias too. Totally cool, man. Hey, maybe it's not for you. I would encourage you to shoot it. And when they do shoot it, they're like, oh, I'll be damned. I'm like, that's way different. That's way different. And their groups are like that.
Yeah.
I had this last weekend. I did a VIP event right after hanging with Steve. And it was a VIP after a VIP. and this guy brought his teenage son out. And I said, well, have you ever shot before? He's like, nope. Or no, that's not what I said. We get shooting, he grabs a gun, and he's probably 15, and we start shooting, I start explaining the grip, and he starts to shoot, and he starts to lean back, and I correct him and everything, and I just coach him up in probably 5 or 10 minutes, and I go, how many times you shot before? He's like, 20, and he points at the target. That was the 20 rounds he just shot, and he shot a 3-inch group with that gun.
Wow.
And his dad's back there like, can't. Like, he's like, that's awesome. But, you know,
that's, you know, my boy.
Like, with a little bit of coaching and a gun that shoots extremely well. Here's a kid that's never shot before in his life. And I handed him a Staccato P and he just drove a 3-inch group, you know, just because he was so focused on there's a couple times I'm like, hey man, it's like, bring the gun down. Cause he's like, he's been holding it for 5 minutes up there. I'm like, you can break it down, man. Breathe.
take a break.
Sounds like you got a lot of VIP clients, huh?
I do live outside of Tahoe, and the CEO used to live up here in Incline, just up the road, right? So he has a lot of friends up there. So he'll get a call. Hey, I got some buddies want to check out these Staccatos, and I'm 30 minutes away. Hey, Jim, you could do this a bit. And Steve happens to live locally, too. He just happens to be a friend of mine. And he just got his Nevada license. He's like, let's go roll, dude. Let's go shoot some of these guns.
We got to time out for a second here. So you're telling me that Stone Cold isn't down in Texas at the Broken Skull Ranch?
Sold it. He's at Broken Skull 2.0. Can't talk today. Nevada edition.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's up here where we live now.
Does he still have the place? The place down in Texas, was that just, do you know any detail? Was that just for the show, or was that actually his place?
No, that was his place, and he had it for a while. Okay. He sold it and just – his wife's from up in this area, and he really likes it up here. So they picked up, moved up here, and spend most of their time up here now. But doing shows and everything, and super cool dude.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty cool, experience, just because, you know, to me, the Broken Skull Ranch, that thing, and his whole Broken Skull Challenge, that was just a very cool event where it's like, flat out, hey, either you got it or you don't. You know, one shot at the title, that's it. The thing that would kill me, and I don't know if this was for TV or if he's really like this, but his little quirky comments after their little fights or whatever they were, you know, I remember one time I laughed so hard, it, like, had these two chicks fighting over a sandbag or something. And when one finally won, he was like, that bag went quicker than something at Black Friday. Or
That is Steve too. Okay. That dude has the quickest wit of all. It's made a lot of money. like we were at dinner one night, and I'm on a tangent here, but we're at dinner one night, and he'd had a little bit of surgery on his forehead, and the waiter's like, "Hey, Steve, what happened to your face?" And he didn't miss a beat. He was like talking about how I beat him up, and this, you know, we got into it. I dropped an elbow on his forehead, but it was like that fast. So no, that is all Steve.
Okay,
that is all Steve. He is quick witted and funny as hell, man. He's a funny dude.
That's cool, man.
So what does Staccato got coming up next? Is there any events that they're going to be at? I saw that
we're actually doing a I'm not going to be able to make this one, but Tony Pignato, my boss, the chief experience officer, is going to go to, they have like a vendor day at Scottsdale Gun Club in Arizona, the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. As I look, it's in here in my calendar. 23rd, 24th, 25th of April. He's going to be down there. We're going to have a big vendor day with Scottsdale Gun Club. I'm headed to Meridian, Idaho, just outside Boise, to do a 2011 experience with Hawk Tech Firearms. Heather over on the East Coast has stuff going all the time. The website usually has it like the day prior. The Staccato 2011 website will have like what we've got going on. We've been involved with the tactical games and typically giving away a Staccato to the winner too. So that's kind of cool that we're doing that. But yeah, just the Staccato freaking storm is coming, man. It's been on. Like I started full time this January 2020. This year, in February, I sold more guns than I did in the first 3 months last year.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's just, they're catching on. They're badass guns. They work, they run. I think that one of the biggest complaints I get is they're like, "Hey, I picked up this brand new pistol and it's got some barrel wear right here and it looks used." Like, dude, it's a handmade gun. Like they shot it. They fit this and fitted this. They have to shoot it to make sure it works. Like, so if you see a little barrel, well, I promise you it's not because it was a range gun. Like they hand
fit. You might even find
it, make sure it works.
Yeah. You might even find a little carbon in there.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. I am actually pretty impressed that we are selling a lot of guns, but some people get a little picky. It's like, it's a handmade gun, bro. Sorry. It wasn't attached with it.
Yeah. Or here's what you do. I think back in the day, I don't think H&K does it anymore, but I think back in the day, H&K would send their little target, you know, they shot on or did whatever.
Yeah, it's in our bag. It's in there.
Yeah.
Well, looks excessive. Well, maybe they shot 20 rounds to make sure the barrel fit was right. Because this is a hand fit. You can't just buy a barrel and drop it in. But we offer DLC barrel. You can't just drop that in. It has to be hand fitted. So maybe that one took an extra 20 rounds to make sure you're getting a truly badass gun that works. We're coming on strong, right? When the guns are selling, we're building about 80 guns a day. Every gun, like I said, is handmade. Only like that's a lot for us. 80 guns a day, right?
That seems like a lot for handmade guns.
Made in Georgetown, Texas, handmade. You're not gonna. We say we make the world's best shooting handguns. We haven't been sued yet, so until somebody can prove us otherwise, we do make the world's best shooting handgun. It shoots phenomenal. Mm-hmm. We come out of the race industry with thousands and thousands of wins. The world's top shooters running the guns. I mean, my exposure, my introduction to an STI before it was Staccato was coming out of the military with my 45 single stack, looked a lot like my work gun. Mm-hmm. And I go to this thing they call IPSC. I'm like, I'm a gangster. I'll shoot this. I show up with my drop leg holster, my 45, and just got my ass kicked.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
So I was like, what are you shooting? Like, what is that? Why didn't you have to do a mag change? Why didn't you have to do this? Why do you have to do that? Can I shoot that gun? And any STI or Staccato owner is like the number one sales guy for you because they want everybody to shoot that gun, right? Mm-hmm. You haven't shot this? You need to shoot this. Like, here's 20 rounds. They want you to shoot it because they want you to know how badass their gun is. So they become your number one sales force. So when you train and educate these guys and they get that gun in their hand, it's you're growing your sales force by the day. So we make a damn good gun, man, and happy to be a part of it. And the fact that I can still do my training and use these guns to help people better protect themselves is awesome.
We'll put the Staccato website, you know, below. And hey, guys, if you're listening on any of the audio platforms, make sure you go ahead and give us a rating, give us a comment, leave us something. Really appreciate it.
Are you like the hype man? Because like you've said, like all you've said this whole show is just like, leave some ratings. He's like, he's your hype man right there.
He's got to be. So here you go, Jim. Jim, you can tell the viewers and listeners out there, hey, man, leave us a subscribe to the channel, you know, leave a comment, No, man. Because here's the thing, you got to put the plugs in there because this thing, this world is brutal, man.
Oh, you know, well, I was waiting for more questions from him, and he's like, okay, we're done. I'm like, wait.
Oh, no, we're not done.
He's got to get the plugs in there every once in a while. Hopefully, you know, people are sitting there, and I don't care if they just give us a thumbs up emoji. Give us something because that just helps this whole review process so that all these different platforms out, will.
Right?
Yeah.
Dude, well, just, red blooded Americans are doing good things for people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Just helps you move up in the rankings.
Yeah. This freaking algorithm is King Kong, man. I mean, it beats you down every day. You got to try to get on top of it.
Speaking I swear of, to God, I was talking about this the other day about it, you know. And I'm like, I quit caring like how many likes I got after a while. This is because before, like, I would like fiend on it. Like, oh man, that should I take that down? I only got like 80 likes. Like, if it's less than 100, I'm taking it down. Like, now I'm just like, click. If you don't like it, cool. Like,
yeah.
Well, it seems that
hopefully what I'm putting up is good. But.
Yeah, like on iTunes and for the audio shows and podcasts and things like that, it seems as if that the ratings and the comments that people leave on the actual app is one of the major things that actually increases your reach. Now, that could change tomorrow. I don't know.
Yeah, you never know. But you guys are right. You got to hit those algorithms. You got to get those likes. You got to get the bookmarks. It's crazy where we've come with it, you know, to be able to share our knowledge or get the word out about good things happening in our society takes an algorithm.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the origin?
Okay. So there it was, right? So what happened was
the sea was angry that day. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was actually part of a motorcycle group back East, the Rolling Thunder. Right. So I wasn't a 1% biker dude or anything, but, so it was just Rolling Thunder and its foundation is basically on POWMI awareness, right? Which kind of dates to the Vietnam era. So you could tell I was probably 30 years younger than most of the dudes. I was like one of seven dudes that had a two-wheel, not a three-wheel bike. No, I'm kidding. okay. So a lot of older fellas, right? And I was hanging with these dudes and we go on these memorial rides and charity rides and fundraiser type rides. And I was about 6'2", 230, 5% body fat, like hitting my stride and training and everything. Yeah, hitting my stride and training, kind of yoked, whatever you want to call it. And we're doing a brief, and I'm just sitting over on the side, or standing off the side of the vice president of the club. And he's like, all right, so we're doing this memorial ride. We're going to be over here. We're going to be by this bar. But, hey, you can't be drinking. If we catch you, and he just kind of looked over and saw me, he's like, we're going to release the Kraken. And he did like three more times and it just stuck.
Just stuck.
So I'm the Kraken now. For my pipe hitters
back number one.
Yeah, number one. for the old pipe hitters back there, my overseas call sign was Plugger. And I'll leave it right there.
Plugger.
Yeah. Doesn't sell as well, but there's a story behind that one too.
Oh,
yeah, I'm sure.
One can imagine.
Plug nasty, plug eponymous, whatever. Every variation of plugger, plug.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I like
that's
it.
That's awesome.
Well, Jim, we really appreciate you having me on. Really appreciate you coming on, man. And thank you for your service and continued service out there training folks. Really appreciate you coming on and showing us the Staccato firearms. Really, really appreciate it. And the best of luck to you. If you ever need to come back, just let us know.
That's what I'm, and if you ever get somebody to cancel on you and need to fill in, you know, I can hit training weight pretty quick, like a week, 2 weeks, like so I can get on here. Yeah, I'm ready. Remember, if you're not having a good time training, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
Or you just move real close to the screen, go, yeah, man, I'm good.
Just a whole, just to do a headshot. Yeah. Oh, man.
Sounds like some of my pictures lately. I'm like, you just like my holster company's pissed because they never see it.
Oh, man.
Above the abdomen, above. No.
Yeah.
Hey,
I married an Italian girl, man. She feeds me like a dang horse.
All right, Rick. Great show, man.
Yeah, man.
And again, you know, I know Jim was busting my chops a little bit, but hey, guys, man, make sure you hit those. Help us with those algorithms, buddy. Great show today. And everything's going to be in the show notes. And make sure that we can get people directed towards Jim and Staccato and everything he's doing. So just a great show.
Absolutely, buddy.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Talk to you soon, Rick.
All right, bud. Take care.
All right, buddy.